it's good to be back with you this week. I had an appointment and an engagement last weekend that kept me away, but it gave me time to go and connect with my mother and my father, who are not doing well physically. And so I appreciate you allowing Cameron to come and to teach you last week. Isn't she a blessing? I mean, we are just so blessed with the level of talent that we have in this church, the musicians that we have, the volunteers that we have. The people that you never see that make these things happen are just amazing. And so I just want to say thanks to them, for the people that greeted and passed out bulletins, to the people that set up the coffee and the water and the donuts every week. There's an army of people that go into making this happen. And so I just want to say thank you to them, but especially thank you to Cameron for filling in last week and to giving you the Word of God. We're in the midst of a series called Supernatural. Last week, she talked to you about spiritual warfare and how we're in a battle. And it's not a battle against flesh and blood, but it's against powers and principalities and rulers and high places, that we are struggling against spiritual things. And if we're going to have victory, we're going to have to do warfare in the heavenly places. But thank you, God, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and the casting down of imaginations. Isn't that good news? That if you walk in here today and you're in the midst of a struggle, the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's, okay? So I want to encourage those of you who have come in today, you're feeling discouraged or depressed, defeated. I want you to know today that God is for you, not against you. And if you've come here today and you feel a lot of condemnation, you feel shame, that you've done some things this week that you're not proud of, that have taken you away from God's path and God's plan for your life, I want you to know that today is your day. Today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, the one who comes to comfort us, the one who comes to empower us to live the kind of life God sets for us in the Bible. I heard a story one time about a guy. He was asked about what he knew about the Trinity. And he had not gone to church, but he had attended quite a few funerals. And he says, well, I know that there's the Father, Son. And they say, Father, Son. And then they say, in the Holy Ghost. So that was really a joke, okay? Father, Son, and in the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Okay, I shouldn't have had to explain that one, okay? He had gone to a lot of funerals. Okay, all right. That one will be struck from future sermons, all right? Never use that one again, okay? You know, when you start talking about the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, a lot of times Christians kind of get the heebie-jeebies, right? Because we don't understand the Holy Ghost. We don't understand the Holy Spirit. It's the kind of part of the Godhead that we would prefer just kind of talk about the Father and the Son. We're really comfortable with them. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we have a lot of misinformation and a lot of ignorance. And today I want us to just kind of delve in there. We're not going to go to weird places, okay? It's comfortable here. And we're just going to explore God together, okay? We want to look at a few words of Jesus as he was preparing to give up his life on the cross. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, he says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor," and that's with a capital C, "to be with you forever." Who is this counselor? Well, in verse 17, Jesus says, "He is the Spirit of truth." He's letting us know this counselor is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus goes on to say, "The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him." But then to his disciples, Jesus says, "You know him, for he lives within you, and he will be with you and in you." I want to give you a couple preliminary thoughts as we start unpacking some things about the Holy Spirit today, okay? First of all, I want you to know this. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He's a person. He's the third person of the Trinity, the third part of the Trinity. He's not a gut feeling. He's not some primordial ooze or divine energy. He's a person. So we want to get that out there so that when you're thinking, we're thinking of a person, the third person of the Godhead. Secondly, people who are not believers are not going to understand the Holy Spirit, because the things of the Spirit are spiritually discerned. And so if they don't have this relationship with God, they're not going to understand the things of the Spirit. You see, as followers of Jesus, the moment that we say yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God enters into our lives. That very same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead begins to live in us and to quicken our mortal bodies. And He gives us power to fulfill all God would call us to do in Scripture. So today, I want us to look at five things that the Holy Spirit will give us power to do in the name of Jesus. Okay? So five things that the Spirit comes and gives us power to do. First of all, the Holy Spirit gives us the power of salvation. He comes to help us know the power of salvation. The Spirit of God draws us to Jesus. We are supernaturally drawn to Christ. John chapter 6, 44, no one can come to me, Jesus said, unless the Father draws him. The reality is, unless the Father draws them through the power of the Holy Spirit. And He brings us to salvation. I love the story in John where Jesus was having a conversation with a Pharisee named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus had come to Jesus wanting to know about eternal life. And Jesus says to him, you need to be born again. And Nicodemus is like, isn't that going to be kind of difficult? How can I enter into my mother's womb a second time? And He says, no, Nicodemus. See, here's what you need to know. I tell you the truth, Jesus says. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Jesus said, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. In other words, your mom gave you physical life and physical birth, but God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is going to give you spiritual birth. You see, you and I can be spiritually reborn through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Holy Spirit comes to do, is to birth us into the family of God. Some of you may be sitting there saying, well, how can I know this for myself? How do I know if I really belong to God? Well, Scripture says it this way in Romans chapter 8, 16, that the Spirit Himself, God's Holy Spirit, testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. He gives us the assurance that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. So the Holy Spirit, number one, leads us to salvation. Through His power, we can come to God, and then we can have the assurance that we belong to God, okay? Number two, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to walk in God's will. Isn't that good news? That God doesn't just call us to live in Him and then set up a life that He wants us to live and then walks away. No, He gives us the Spirit to help us to walk in that will. Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 14, 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and He will remind you of everything I've said to you. You see, the Holy Spirit is a teacher, He's our counselor, and He is our guide, and He will lead us in how we can walk in God's will. I think this is why it's absolutely critical for us to be in the Word as Christians, to meet with other believers and to begin to unpack what God's Word is saying, because the Bible tells us that the Spirit is there to teach us, but then to remind us everything that we have heard from Jesus. And we're only going to hear from Jesus from His Word, right? That's why I think it's important. Psalm 119 tells us, Thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. It also says there in the word that Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, the Holy Spirit will come and He will lead us and He will guide us. When we know the Spirit of Christ, we're going to be filled with the Spirit and He will guide us. And we will no longer be led by our fleshly desires, but by the voice of God through the Spirit. He will be guiding us, directing us, convicting us, and convincing us. In fact, Jesus said it this way in John chapter 16, 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit gives us power to walk in God's will. Then the third thing the Spirit does. the Holy Spirit will give us the power to share Christ boldly. Acts chapter 1 says, "And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." This is the part where a lot of us go and swallow very hard. Anyone here get nervous when you think about sharing your faith with somebody else? Let's get honest, all right? I do. I'm a preacher, and I get really nervous when it comes to talking to people about my Jesus. You know, it's like, what if I don't know what to say? Or God, I may mess this up. Or what if they ask me a question and I don't know the answer to it? Can you relate to that? Where we get all bound up, and you know what ends up happening? We won't share Christ. We bow to the fear instead of living in faith. And the Spirit has come to help us share Christ boldly. Listen, if you feel nervous when it comes to sharing your faith, you're in good company here, but there's also some pretty good company in the Word of God. Even the Apostle Paul struggled with this. Do you know that? He was a little insecure about some of his preaching. In 1 Corinthians 2, 4 through 5, he says, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but instead they were the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power." In other words, he's saying, my abilities weren't all that great. I'm not an incredible speaker, but when I opened my mouth, God spoke through the power of the Holy Spirit and did what God wanted to accomplish. The same is true when you and I want to share our faith with someone else. We don't need to worry about the fact that we're nervous. We don't need to know exactly what we're going to say. We just need to trust God and watch Him, through the power of the Holy Spirit, put the words in my mouth and in your mouth. Matthew chapter 10, 19 and 20 says it this way: "Do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given to you in that hour what you're to say. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." That's good news. It's not about my abilities. It's not about my confidence. It's about my confidence in God, who knows the full story, the full truth, and He knows how to go about making His word hearable to those that are listening. Then fourthly, the Holy Spirit gives us power to live a holy life. Not just to walk in God's will, but to live a holy life in a very broken, run-down, and dark world. You watch the news this week, there's just more horrors and more ugliness that's going on around us. God wants us to live above this. God wants us to live a life that's above reproach. He wants us to be the very demonstration of the Spirit's power in our lives as we live differently from the world around us. And the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us that ability. In Romans chapter 8, 5 and 6, he says, "Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that are going to please the Spirit." It says, if your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. So basically, who's in control? Who's calling the shots in your life? Is it the Spirit of God, or are you being controlled by your sinful nature? It's a life and death struggle taking place within you daily. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says, "So I advise you, live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you will not be doing what the sinful nature craves." The old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So we've got these two forces battling each other, fighting it out inside of us. And our choices are never really going to be fully free from this struggle. There's always going to be that battle for control. But when we are filled with the Spirit of God, I can tell you this: greater is He that is in you than anything you've thought of in your past, anything your flesh wants to do, or anything out there in the world. Greater is He, that Spirit of God in you, than any other thing. And He will give you the victory over darkness. Galatians 5, we often talk about it, and we talk about the fruits of the Spirit. You remember those? Help me with them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. We talk about those being the fruits of the Spirit. But you know what they really are? They're the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit comes to live inside of you, these are the characteristics that you and I can have, and these characteristics can be worked out in our life. This is what gives us the power to live the holy life. The Spirit coming and setting up residence in us gives us these characteristics, gives us these God things that allow us to live above where the world lives. Then the fifth thing that we need to realize about the Spirit's power. The Spirit gives us power to use the gifts that He gives us. He gives us gifts and He gives us the power to use those gifts. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 4. But God also testified to it by signs and wonders with various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. There's a couple of places that you can look in the Bible talking about spiritual gifts where you can kind of do some further research on your own. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a list there. Over in Romans chapter 12, there's a list there that you can look at. And some of the gifts that you'll find there are gifts of wisdom, discernment, prophecy, of giving, of serving, of encouragement, of administration. Do you believe that's a gift? Man, I really need that gift in my life. And if you have that gift, come see me. Maybe I can use you in my office. The gift of evangelism, the gift of mercy, of teaching, of discipling others and helping them in their faith. God gives these supernatural gifts for us to use within the church to make a difference in our world. Listen, if this is your church home and you have gifts that you're not using, do you know what's happening? We're missing out on what God wants to give the church through you. We're missing out on that. Each and every one of you has a gift. And actually, if you think about it this way, you have the giver. So we actually have all the gifts. It's just sometimes God will bring one gift out when it's needed, and He can bring other gifts out when they're needed. He gifted us with spiritual gifts to make a difference in His church and in His world. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says this, a spiritual gift is given to each of us. You know why? The Bible goes on to say, for the common good. He doesn't give us gifts for us to squander them or to sit on them. He doesn't give us gifts so that we can selfishly use them for ourselves or our own pleasure or for moving forward in life. He gives us gifts to share with His church. So today we're kind of looking at the Spirit and what He gives us power to do. And basically, in a nutshell, these five things, you know what the Spirit of God is doing? He is helping us to be a fully devoted follower of Christ, equipped in everything we need to do that. As we close today, let me give you just two pieces of Spirit-filled advice, okay? May I do that with you? The first one is this. Please, oh please, oh please, do not resist the Holy Spirit's work in your life. Don't resist the direction and the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. How can you resist Him? By saying no. Or choosing to ignore that prompting. You know, when you've been in a crowd and you feel like you ought to smile at somebody, and you're like, they're going to think I'm weird, and so I'm not going to do that. You've resisted the Holy Spirit. Or when God prompts you to pray for somebody, and you're like, I'll do that later, and you put it off, and then you forgot about it. You've resisted the Spirit's prompting in your life. Or when you felt like you were supposed to go and tell somebody about Jesus, and you really felt it to the point where your heart began to beat out of your chest, and you began to get really nervous, and you kind of, I don't think that's the Spirit of God. I think that's just bad pizza. You just resisted the Holy Spirit. You know what? You don't want to do that because we have a choice. We want to hear the Spirit. We want to sense the Spirit prompting us to do things. And typically, the things that the Spirit prompts us to do are not weird or out of the ordinary, but they mean something to God. And so I kind of look at it and say, okay, is this something I would naturally do? Okay. And is this something that I think God would like me to do? And then I weigh that. Is this something in the Bible that I can find support for? Well, then I need to really consider saying yes to the Spirit, because I don't want to resist God's Holy Spirit. I don't want to ignore it, because if you ignore it too much, then the Spirit is going to just say, you know what, I'll just back away. This person's not interested in what I have to say and what I have to give. If we continue to resist the Holy Spirit, we can hurt His feelings. Did you know the Bible talks about grieving the Holy Spirit? It also says that we can quench the Holy Spirit like a wet blanket on a fire. We don't want to do that. We want to hear the Spirit, and we want to be active about what the Spirit tells us to do. You know, I heard it one time, and I really, if I would have was on my game today, I would have brought a flame and a candle. You know that the same flame that softens a candle, that melts the wax, you take that same sort of flame and you apply it to clay, it can harden it into a brick. It's the same principle at work. The same Spirit of God that operates softening you up and prepping you for Jesus, and that heats your heart and makes you sensitive to the things that are going on around you that God wants to do through you, if you resist Him long enough, you'll begin to notice a hardening. And you feel it less and less and less. The same flame that melts a candle hardens a brick. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. And then secondly, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's not something to avoid. He's not something to shun. Open up your heart and just let Him come in His fullness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says this: do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. What He's saying there is, don't let some substance control you. Instead, open your life to be filled. And what the Greek says there is being filled. It's a constant process of opening our lives to the power in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Think of it this way. Have you ever watched a ship or a boat that had a sail on it? And when the wind fills the sail catches it and it keeps moving. You know what continues that boat's progress? Is that it's out there continuing to catch as much of the wind as it can. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit says, not just it's a one-time shot, but it's a constant willingness to surrender to the Spirit's direction and flow and control. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit, that you hear from Him, that you allow His power to fill you, His ability, His discernment, His direction to do what He wants to do in the way of pleasing God in and through your life. Supernatural. We have a supernatural God who wants to fill us with His supernatural Holy Spirit so that you and I may live supernatural lives. Not normal lives. Extraordinary lives. Maybe some of you are here today and you've got a big decision. You're kind of wondering, okay, God, I want some direction here. Perhaps today you need to pray that the Holy Spirit would come and give you wisdom and discernment, that He would teach you, guide you, and instruct you about the decision that you are facing. Some of you know people that they don't know Christ. The Holy Spirit today wants to come and visit you to give you the power and the words and the knowledge to share with them about this life-giving Savior. Some of you today may be trapped in some specific sort of sin, and the Holy Spirit has mentioned it to you, and you're struggling with conviction about it. You want to get out, but you just don't think you have the power, and you know that you're not strong enough to do it by yourself. The Holy Spirit wants to guide you and strengthen you out of that pit that you are in that's holding you from being all that God called you and created you to be. Others of you, the Holy Spirit has gifted you in some tremendous ways, but you have put a bushel on that. You've not been bold to offer that to the church or offer it to the Lord. You can be making a huge difference for the kingdom of God, and the Holy Spirit wants you to give you the boldness and the power to step out of your comfort zone and to give God what He's given you. Some of you, you've resisted the Holy Spirit so long that you don't sense His presence anymore. And today can be that day where you reconnect with Him and allow Him control again. Where once again you can hear His voice and you can feel His strength and you can know His love. Some of you recognize you've been trying to live your life apart from God. And maybe today the Holy Spirit has been wooing you back. You know what He's saying is right. Without me, you can do nothing. Isn't that what Jesus said? I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You've been far too separated from God for far too long. Maybe this is your day to reconnect with Him and to have His life, His Spirit flow back into you. I don't know where you are, but you do. And the Spirit of God does. And that Spirit's drawing you today. Where is He leading you? Can we pray together? Lord God, I thank You that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that if we're struggling with salvation or living our life apart from You, today can be that day where we surrender ourselves to You. Where we just get honest and say, God, I've tried it my way and it's not working. Come into my heart. I surrender control. Forgive me of my sin and help me to walk this day in the power of Your Holy Spirit. That You would fill me with power to walk out this Christian life and to do it in a way that pleases You and that is noticeable to the world. God, guide my mouth and my tongue. Help me to make good choices rather than poor choices. Fill me so that I can talk to others about You. God, today come and walk amongst us. Speak to our hearts. Change our lives. Transform our circumstances. Today I pray for those who stand in the need of prayer. You know who they are. You know where they are. Lord, some need healing. I pray You touch them. Some need forgiveness, and today I pray that You would wash away their sin. Some need revival, and I pray, God, that You bring the freshness that only You have to offer. Lord, it's interesting that we meet here in a bar. How many people come to this place, they don't even know what they're looking for, and they look for things to fill their lives when You are the one who has everything we need. Today, God, I pray that we would find it in You. So come, walk amongst us, we pray in Jesus' name.